very, very heavy stuff. Some of the heavy stuff of the entire Bible, very much meat of the Bible. And so we'll try to get it for all of you and help you all understand it. Daniel chapter 9, and we'll start at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, that's not brand new Christian Bible reading there, and it's kind of heavy stuff. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll start explaining it. Father, thank you for the word we have today. Thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. Thank you we have the rest of the Bible. Lord, if we just read this one passage, we wouldn't understand it. Father, we thank you we have other spots in Daniel, other spots in Revelation, other spots in Matthew, other spots in Luke that will help us understand this passage, Father. And I pray that your Spirit would be our guide and our teacher, and we would understand and rightly divide the word of truth, and help us to see and understand Daniel's 70 weeks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel had began to read this the book of Jeremiah, actually. An amazing thing there. Jeremiah had written his book, and his contemporary, Daniel, and somehow this book had gotten over to Daniel in Babylon. And Daniel began, I remember Jeremiah wasn't in Babylon. There was four prophets for sure at the same time. And one of those prophets, Daniel, was in Babylon. But Jeremiah was in Jerusalem. And so that is that's where it was. But Daniel had got a hold of a copy of the book of Jeremiah. And he read, they were in this terrible tribulation. They were scattered. The nation was destroyed. And they read that 70 years had been determined upon Israel for suffering. What happened is Israel had been told, you did this, they were warned and warned and warned they about their idolatry and their wickedness, and they would actually kill the prophets who came to warn them. And finally God said, all right, it's your last chance. If you don't repent, we're going to, God had told them this, you know, hundreds of years before, that if you do these things and this will happen to you. And one of the things is that we scattered and the nation destroyed. And then they started doing those things and wouldn't stop doing them. So God sent the prophets, they killed the prophets. And so God said, okay, you're going to suffer. And that's the deal, and there's nothing going to stop it. Israel had Babylon come in and make them suffer, and then they said, we're not going to accept this. Now, this suffering they were in was from God. God said, you deserve this, we're going to just suffer. And they rebelled against the punishment that was dealt to them. And Jeremiah said, do not do it. If you rebel against Babylon, who's over you now, right now they're just kind of, they just conquer your land, have taken out some taxes and stuff. If you rebel, it's going to get bad, and they will destroy your nation. And they didn't listen. They tried to hire Egypt to help them, and they tried to do a bunch of things. The phrase I think of is, take your medicine. Take your medicine. And they wouldn't take their medicine. And I find that a big part of life that is a hard thing with the instant people who are used to somebody bailing you out, to the government taking care of you, or somebody doing that. If you make bad decisions, you will suffer. And if you're afraid to take that suffering, you will suffer more. That's life. So often I see somebody go out and make a dumb decision in their life and a foolish decision. They say, man, I did this and I'm struggling with this. You did drugs, you got this thing. You got arrested, you have this. You went and you had a baby with the wrong person. You did this. Okay, you're going to suffer. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be tied to that baby. I'm not going to tie to that one. Now you're going to suffer worse. Or you're going to spend some time in jail with this, but you need to. Well, now I can never get a job, and now you're going to multiply it because you will not. You're going to suffer for a while. Just, you're going to be flipping burgers for a while. That's all right. Prove yourself flipping burgers and then move up. But for a while, you're flipping burgers because you did that. Don't lay around and say, I just can't do anything because my life's full of suffering. You're going to suffer if you make a dumb decision. And you'll hopefully learn from it and say, I'm not going to make a dumb decision next time. Hopefully. Now, a lot of people don't do that. But we don't like to suffer. We like to, okay, let me give me a pill then. Okay, somebody bail me out. Okay, maybe there's a government program. How about you realize you're suffering for stupid decisions? I mean, you got addicted to drugs, it's going to be tough to get off them. You're going to shake, you're going to be tired, you're going to be miserable, you're going to be grumpy. Okay? Accept it, do it, deal with it, and don't do it again. And that sounds mean and cruel, but I so often deal with people who just, they want no consequences for their sin, and they just say, no, God forgave me, he forgave you, but you have consequences. And accept them and take your medicine. And, you know, you drove 95 down the highway because you're in a hurry and you got a ticket. Pay a ticket. I mean, that's what you did. And that's life. And accept the consequences. Ask for mercy. All that stuff. But I just think so often we don't do that. And Israel made that mistake. So he finds out we got 70 years of suffering. And the 70 years is almost done. So he says, what in the world's going to happen to my nation now? And God clarifies his prophecy, and he says, you know, they've really made a mess, and we've got to do some things here. And verse 24, he says, 70 weeks. Now, go back to chapter 9, verse 2, at the end of the verse, 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. But now in verse 24, he says, 70 weeks. Now, if you had a choice, you got 70 years or 70 weeks, what are you going to take? You take 70 weeks. One problem is a prophetic week is way different than our weeks. They're much different. And these dates are going to be very, very important. It's very, there's a lot of stuff that I can't get to all of this week about this. In Numbers, when Israel went in for 40 days, and we're going to talk about this morning's message, actually. For 40 days, they went in, and in Numbers, I think it's 14, they went in, they were tested for 40 days and saw the land. And then God said, for every day that you went in and didn't trust me and go into the promised land when you're wandering for all that 40 years or 40 days of distrust of me, I'm going to give you 40 years of wandering. And so God sometimes switches and multiplies things and changes in the prophetic years. And he does that, and we're gonna see that this 70 weeks, each day is a year, each week is 7 years. And he says, Daniel, 70 years of seven have been determined upon you to suffer. 490 years. Israel has 490 years to go through this stuff. And in verse 7, he says why, and what's going to happen with this. 7 years are determined upon thy people, and upon thy holy hill. Number one, why is this? Number one, to finish the transgression. Okay? Basically, that says to finish your sin, to bring an end to the suffering for your sin, to balance things out here, to bring an end to the transgression. This is the end result, and this is the finishing of your suffering. So you're going to have 490 years, and at the end, everything's balanced. You're all fine. I punished you, and you're fine with me then. Next, to make an end of sins. Now, at the end of 490 years, we're going to come to the end of sins. You're going to stop sinning. You're going to be with me. You're going to do wrong anymore. Next thing that's going to happen with this 70 years, to make reconciliation for iniquity. So we're going to go and make things right. So this thing is going to go and pay the price. You're going to go through 490 years of trouble, of suffering. At the end of the 490 years, everything's going to be equal and right, and you and me will be 100% right. Now, as we'll see a little bit later, this 490 years isn't done yet. Israel still isn't right with God. And it's very clear in Scripture. They're not right. But in the end, they're going to be God's people again at the end of the time. Next, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Well, that hasn't happened yet, has it? Is there everlasting righteousness in the world? No. It's eternal righteousness where everything's going to be done and settled, and now there's no more sin in the world. Why? Because Satan will be thrown into hell at the end of this time. To seal up the vision and prophecy. What is that? That means all prophecy to end at the end of the 490 years. At the end of the prophecy, it's going to seal up the prophecy for Israel, and then to anoint the most holy. And that is where Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler of heaven and earth, and there won't be any authority against him, and he will be anointed as where his proper position is. Right now, Satan's the god of this world. But he will be anointed the most holy, and that's going to happen at the end of this time of suffering. And so he says this is the period that it's going to be like that, and it's going to be all during this time. Now, there's a lot of things we got to show you about the 7 years. Let's go to verse 25, and we'll get back to the weeks there. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build with Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. Now, here's what you got to do. You ready? Every word now is going to matter. Very specifically, it's going to word things very specifically, and these wording specifically is every word is going to be very important. It's going to matter in huge events. God's going to phrase things certain ways, and see if you can notice some things worded strange ways. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince. Who is Messiah the Prince? Jesus, okay? So from this, a commandment to restore and build Jerusalem to Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. The score is 20, okay? What's weird about the phrasing there? Got to look closely there. What's weird about the phrasing? By the way, make sure you're in King James here. The other versions don't translate it the way they did in the Hebrew very carefully. And the reason we use the King James. And they miss an entire meaning and huge prophetic events right here. If you have another version of the Bible and it says from the going forth of the commandment until Messiah the Prince is 69 years, that's wrong. Okay? It's worded very specifically. Okay? It doesn't say 69. It says shall be 7 weeks and 3 score, that's 60, and 2 weeks. That's a weird way to phrase it. Even if you were going to say, use the score term, you would say 9 3 score weeks. But it doesn't do that. It says 7 weeks and 3 score weeks and 2 weeks. Why? Because it's broken down. And then if you look at that number, you got 69, not 70. And so you have that. Now, let me just tell you what happens here. He says, Daniel, what's going to happen? There's going to be a commandment that's going to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem. He's like, that's great. Jerusalem, right now, there's no temple, there's no walls. Jerusalem's a smoldering mess. And there's going to go forth a commandment to go and to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, there's two commandments that went forth to rebuild Jerusalem. One was Ezra, and Ezra went back, and Ezra was to go in and rebuild the temple. And there was Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was given a commandment to go back and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And these two guys went back and groups with them. They left Babylon at the end of the 70 years. Remember, the 70 years of captivity, they did have the 70 years. But God says, I've determined 70 weeks upon you to finish everything. This is a little spanking for what you did. You went and you guys rebelled against me. I told you you're going to go into captivity. I said 70 years is the right amount. You're going to go back at the end of 70 years, and there's going to be a command to go rebuild Jerusalem. From that point, a new clock starts ticking, and now you have 7 years, 60 years, and 2 years until Messiah comes, and then you're going to have the last week, which you're going to talk about in the verses in a second here. Now, these verses are the skeleton for all prophecy. They are probably the most important prophetic verses. They're going to outline everything to the end of time, and everything, and Israel's going to do it, but it's very basic and bare, just the basic time frame. Now, Ezra was sent back a little before Nehemiah. And Ezra's date, we can guess on it, get pretty close, a couple years before Nehemiah, and we think we have the exact date. We know it's very well kept. It's an exact date that's very well historically documented. Nehemiah was commanded to go back and got the decree from the king of Persia to go back and rebuild Jerusalem in March 14th, 445 BC. Okay? March 14th. It may have been started 2 years earlier when Nehemiah went back. We do not know for sure exactly which one and which one is talking about. Most people think it's March 14th, 445 BC. Clock starts ticking. So he says, first of all, let's see. Let's go to verse 25. Let's go a little farther in that. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. So it looks like talking about the wall, not the temple itself. We start on that date there. And if we start on that date, we can look at the day that the Messiah is going to come, because all they do is count 490 years. But it says they're built in troublous times. There's 49 years, the 7 times 7, 49 years where Jerusalem was in very troublous times. Read Ezra and read Nehemiah. They were being attacked, threatened, everything. Very troubled times where they're rebuilding Jerusalem. And he says you're going to have 7 years of very troublous times when you're going to be rebuilding the wall. But the clock started ticking. But there's only going to be 49 years of those troublous times, and the wall and the city and the temple are going to get rebuilt eventually. But there's going to be troubled times while they're doing that. That's the 7 years. And then you can start counting from there, and you can go forward, and you're going to get the exact dates. And you're going to go forward, and you're going to know when Messiah is going to come, and when he's going to get there, and when that's going to happen. Let me take you back to Daniel chapter 7. And let's not go there yet. We'll go that. We'll get that. I want to get ahead of myself a little bit there. They rebuild it. Now, verse 26, and after 62 weeks, okay, now we're 62 weeks. 62 weeks from the end of the troublous times. So 7 weeks, you follow? Why does it matter how they translate the Bible? It's always, it matters because they just say 69 weeks, a lot of versions. We use the King James Version for a reason. They understood every word God has put in there was for a reason, and it wasn't the thought that mattered and kind of get it right. These versions, newer versions, change stuff carelessly, and it changes meanings. And so we do. That's why we use the King James. And he says, after 62 weeks, after 62 weeks, Messiah is going to be there. But look at the phrase here. Now, right, this is heavy stuff for Daniel, because he's saying Messiah's coming. That's great. We only have, you know, less than 500 years. Messiah's going to be here. But it says after 62 weeks, after the 7 weeks, Messiah is going to be cut off. Cut off means killed. Well, you talk about an amazing prophecy. Now, there is not one skeptic who doesn't believe the Bible in the world who doesn't admit that Daniel was written before the time of Christ. The most skeptical people think it was translated about 75 years before Christ, which is totally reaching and ridiculous. It's not true. There's so much secular proof that it's written in 600 BC. But the most skeptical people who because they say there's no way they could have known all this stuff was going to happen in Daniel. So they make up in their mind that the book of Daniel's way not that old. The very oldest they'll place to that is about 75 BC. Well, now we see Messiah's cut off, but not for himself. That's pretty amazing prophecy. Messiah is killed, but not for himself. Daniel doesn't even know what that means. But he writes it. Messiah's cut off? How can Messiah, who's going to restore all things, be killed? And why is he cut off not for himself? Aren't we glad we have the New Testament? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know how Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. And so we see that he does that. Now, and the people of that prince, verse 26, that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Okay, ready? It's going to be rebuilt. We see that. The temple's rebuilt. Jerusalem's rebuilt. Everything's rebuilt. But after Messiah's cut off, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. It's going to be destroyed again. The temple, the walls. All right, so you who have been in my class, you ready? The people, the prince that shall come. Who's the prince that shall come? Antichrist. The Antichrist, the prince that is talking about in Daniel chapter 9, where it says the little horn and the willful king and this prince, the Antichrist, the people of him. Who is the Antichrist from? What empire? Roman Empire. He's going to come from Rome. When we know that, he says that very specifically. He comes to the fourth kingdom, the Iron Kingdom, and a little horn comes out, and it's Antichrist. If you weren't in our lessons, just let me review this for a sec. It might not make sense to you. But Antichrist comes out of the Revived Roman Empire. Revived Roman Empire is the European Union. The Antichrist is going to come out of the European Union. Okay? Who those who think he's going to come out of America, he's the president. Read your Bible. And so so the Antichrist comes, but not right after Messiah. It doesn't say that the prince that shall come is going to destroy the temple. It says the people of the prince that shall come. The people of the Antichrist, the people of the Antichrist, the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire is going to destroy the city again right after Messiah. That's exactly what happened. Of course, Jesus quoted the book of Daniel. So obviously the book of Daniel was written before Jesus, yet 70 AD after the time of Christ, the Roman Empire under Titus, the Roman general, came in and destroyed Jerusalem, tore the temple down, as Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, and destroyed Jerusalem, sacked it and destroyed it to the ground, just like Daniel says here. But then it says in verse 27, and he, the princess shall come, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There's the 70th week. Now, this prince that shall come, now look at the word and you'll see how it says it here. Verse, the middle of verse 26, the people, the prince that shall come shall destroy this city. See, it's not the Antichrist who destroys the city at first, right? The people, the prince that shall come. But the prince that shall come is now the subject. They'll destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, an army, and the end of the war of desolations are determined. And he, the prince that shall come, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, the middle of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Okay. It's heavy for a sec. You gotta follow me. He says in the middle of the week, he's going to stop the sacrifice going on in the temple. I thought the temple was destroyed. The temple gets rebuilt again. And the Antichrist again destroys the temple. And by the way, if you want to know that you're about to be raptured, if that temple gets built in Jerusalem, you know, get ready because it's happening real quick. They've already got everybody knows it's not hidden knowledge that the Orthodox Jews who want the temple, they're mad because the Temple Mount is defiled by the Dome of the Rock right now. Whenever you see picture Jerusalem, you see a big golden dome. That's the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim dome there, Dome of the Rock. That's built on where the Temple Mount, where the temple is supposed to be. The Jews have already got everything laid out. They're just waiting for a way to get on that mountain. And they're going to build it. And it's going to get built. We don't know how. We don't know when. but we know it's going to get rebuilt because the Antichrist is going to come in the middle of it. And by the way, it might get rebuilt after the tribulation starts. We don't know. It might get rebuilt because the treaty made. We don't know. But if it gets built, we're getting there. We're getting there anyway. and so Antichrist comes in the middle, 3.5 years in the tribulation. The Antichrist comes in and he stops the sacrifice and he does what's called the abomination of desolation. Now, this event is all over the Bible. It's in Daniel, it's in Luke, it's in Matthew, it's in Revelation. It's all over the place. And it's right there in the 3.5 weeks. So let me take you back to Daniel, or in the 3.5 years in. Daniel chapter 7. In verse 25. And it says, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they," all this authority, and the authority to do these things, "shall be given to him into his hand until a time," one, "and times," two, three, "and the dividing of time," a half. So 3.5 years, the midst of the week, he's given authority to do these things. So let me take you back to Daniel 9. We're gonna go to that. What is Messiah coming? When did Jesus come? You know, you can get, you can probably tell the exact date Jesus came. Depending if you go by Nehemiah or if you go by Ezra, but you can get pretty exact because you know the number of days. Let me take you to Luke, the book of Luke, and Luke chapter 19. We know it because of the Jewish calendar and other things. Was it when Jesus born? Was it when he went to the cross? No, it's really clear when Messiah came. He's going to come to Jerusalem. And so Daniel and Luke chapter 19. We can start at verse 36. And as he went his way, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees among the multitude said unto them, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Why? Because a Messiah was coming. This was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And Messiah is coming. This is the coming of Messiah. And they're saying, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The Messiah has come. And this is the coming of Messiah to Jerusalem. He's coming to deliver us now. And people said, stop them. What are they saying? It's crazy. He says, no, if they don't do it, the stones are going to cry out. It has to be announced. Messiah has come. Jesus says, Messiah has come. And then he comes down into Jerusalem. He says, the stones will shout it if these people don't. So you might as well let them shout it because this is huge prophetic fulfillment here. Messiah is coming to deliver his people, but he's actually delivering from their sins. Not politically, not from their enemies like he will do in the second coming. He will do that. And so he came back there. All right, back to Daniel 9. it's probably April 6th, 30 AD is that date right there. Let me take it to should I go to Daniel or Revelation? Let's go to Daniel, see there, since we turn there. And he shall confirm the covenant. This is a treaty for many with 1 week. Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel and with many other nations, probably the UN, for 7 years. It'll be a seven-year treaty. At that treaty, at the seven-year treaty, he makes this treaty with Israel, and the tribulation clock starts ticking. Remember, 69 weeks stopped right there when they said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Boom, it stopped. And now we've had 2,000 years. Why? God does that all the time in prophecy. He does it all the time in prophecy. You can see it in Joel chapter 2. Look at Pentecost. He talks about the young men shall dream dreams, your father shall see vision. He quotes that at Pentecost. But also, it also says the sun shall return to darkness and the moon to blood. That didn't happen at Pentecost. It hasn't happened. It's going to happen during the tribulation. Prophecy, God just says the rest of this will happen in a couple thousand years. He's not quite as impatient as we are. And so clock stops. Messiah's come. Delivered his people from their sin, saved us from their sin, and then nothing's happened until this treaty comes. And this treaty is going to be 1 week, 7 years, and it's going to count the days off. Let me take you to Revelation here. Revelation is going to give us a number of days, so we know we can count a lot easier. Some people made a mistake to say, no, that doesn't work out. It wasn't that long until Jesus came to earth exactly, and this and that. It's because you don't understand. You're not using our calendar. God's using his calendar. God's calendar is a different calendar. It's a lunar calendar. It's a Jewish calendar. It's 360 days in a year. And so it's proved in Revelation chapter 11 and then chapter 13 because it starts counting off days. Remember, 3.5 years, the abomination of desolation. And then for 3.5 years, what happens is the Antichrist defiles the Temple Mount, and then for 3.5 years, it's called trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. What that means is it's no longer sacred, and he has 3.5 years to go and just defile the temple until Jesus comes back, and then he cleanses it again. Revelation 11, you're going to have 3.5 years where the sacrifice is being done, where there's two witnesses in Jerusalem, and verse 2, and the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles and to the holy city, and they shall tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. And I give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. 1,260 days. If you divide 3.5 years by 1,260 days, you find out it's a Jewish calendar of 360 days. That's how you know it. It goes into the number of days. And these are the two olive trees. Now Revelation 13. The Antichrist kills the two prophets that are there. He kills them after 3.5 years. And Revelation 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given in him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and that dwell therein. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given with all kindreds and nations and tongues and that dwell upon the earth. So we got the 42 weeks, the 3.5 years again. So this, the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation is divided into two halves. And I'm not going to have time to show you that. But it's 7 years long. 3.5 years is called tribulation. 3.5 years is called great tribulation. And the great tribulation is after the Antichrist does the abomination desolation. He defiles the temple and ruins it. Then you have 3.5 years. So we know that this last week is 7 years. So we know all the rest of the weeks are 7 years because it says 1,260 days of 42 months. It gives us, so we know the last week is 7 years at the end of time in the tribulation. Now let's go back to let's go to Daniel. We won't have time for Matthew 24. You can read about this in Matthew 24 also. Daniel 9 again. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's going to stop them from their sacrificing. He's going to come to the temple and say, stop, no more sacrifices. No more. He's going to do that. But by the way, until then, he looks like this wonderful, the Antichrist looks like a peaceful guy. The Antichrist will not be noticed because he comes in and says he has a policy of peace. The Antichrist comes in as a pacifist, and he does this amazing thing and signs a treaty with Israel and their neighbors, and does this amazing treaty, and everybody says, wow, what a peaceful guy, what a wonderful guy. 3.5 years in, he walks into the temple and says, stop your sacrifices, I am God. We're setting up a statue of me in here. I'm God. He takes a pig. He sacrifices on the altar to defile it and defiles the whole temple. And then when that happens, boom, the Great Tribulation starts. Israel is told in Matthew 24, run for the hills because they're about to kill you. And I got a safe place for you in the hills. And don't even go get your coat. Just run. Don't go back in your house. Don't grab anything. Run for the hills. And I'm going to give you wings. You're going to fly fast. And you're going to have a great army right behind you. I'm going to open up the earth and swallow up the army chasing you. But if you don't run, if you take your time, you're gone. And he says, pray that you're not pregnant. He says, pray it's not in the Sabbath day. Why? The Jews are practicing Old Testament. They're practicing sacrificial law. They're practicing the Sabbath day. They can't travel. He says, pray that it's not that because you won't have time. You just got to fly. And then Antichrist comes after them. His army is swallowed up. And then the great tribulation starts and great, great troubles. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years in, 42 months, 1,260 days, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, the abomination of desolation, he shall make it desolate. He defiles the temple mount where it's ungodly and unholy and not sanctified anymore. Even until the consummation, the consuming end, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so, we've got 70 weeks, 490 years, 7 weeks, Nehemiah and Ezra rebuilding that, from that time when it gets finished, 62 more weeks until Messiah comes, which when Jesus descends from the Mount of Olives, riding the donkey and descends as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from there, the clock stops. Daniel's 70th week, and why is it called that? Because it's all about Israel. What happened to the change that we didn't have any more weeks? Well, it's real simple. When Jesus came, in fact, let's turn to Luke 19. He pronounces something upon Israel. Luke 19, and it's also Matthew 23 and 24. Luke 19. Yeah, we got time to just finish this. Luke 19, Jesus comes. Verse 40. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Okay? Messiah came, a clock stops. Watch, very important. I know you might have read this in your Bible reading time, not mine, I caught this. Next thing that happens, verse 41, and as he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. And he said, if you had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now are they hid from thine eyes, you are now blind. For the day shall come upon thee, and thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee about, and keep thee on every side, and they shall lay thee on the ground, and you're going to be destroyed, and all those things. In Matthew 23, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often I have gathered thee as a hen does gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Therefore, your house is left in you desolate. Here's what happens. The 69, right here you can see, the 69 years comes to an end. Boom, God says, done with Israel. And Israel is in this silent time. Why, what happened? Church age started. That's us. The time of the Gentiles is called. It's called the church age. It's a time when God is dealing with us. God does not deal with Israel right now. He's using us. By the way, Jews can get saved. Understand that. A Hebrew person, they can get saved, but they just become a Christian and go to church. It's not the Hebrew nation that God's working through right now. God takes them back up when the 70th week starts. Why? Because the church isn't there anymore. It's not the church age. It's the rapture. And God says, okay, Israel, it's you. We're dealing with you now. And time to deal with me. And God starts speaking to Israel. 144,000 Jewish evangelists get saved, start preaching the gospel around the world. God starts dealing with the nation of Israel again. And many people get saved from many nations, the Bible says, from every nation. But God's center, the apple of his eye, is now back on Israel. And Israel is his people again. And now he's doing that last week. Okay, guys, 7 more years, you're done suffering. 7 more years, everything's made up equal. 7 more years, and everything's done. And so that's the 70th week. And so Daniel, in 600 BC, gets a lot of information. He doesn't understand Messiah being cut off. He doesn't understand the 2 weeks, and the 7 weeks, and the 69 weeks. And he doesn't understand the prince come destroying the temple again. And if he destroys them, how are they going to stop the consummation? And how are they going to, what's the abomination of desolation? And who the prince shall come? And 70 weeks. And he doesn't understand any of this stuff. He's just given it. 4 verses that outline the entire prophetic scripture, including Jesus coming first and second time, and all the way to the end of time when sin is gone. It's pretty amazing. And a pretty amazing set of passages here in Daniel chapter 9. I think that's all we have time for today. We'll do some more specifics on that in my class next week. we'll work on that. Sorry about those who come to discipleship. You got way beyond discipleship today. Make sure you're back next week. And make sure you're faithful to that discipleship. I want you to finish it, get your certificate, and get your meal, and all those things. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get ready for church to follow. And Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for Daniel, and that he wrote down what he heard, though he didn't understand it. And thank you for the great truth of Daniel. It's just 5 verses, amazing verses. And I pray we'd understand that you have a lot in there, Father, and the word is so deep and so profound. And Lord, here we are with this problem with Israel and their neighbors, the whole world wanting to get it settled still. we walk into an airport and go through security because a bunch of Muslims hate us because we're friends of Israel. And this treaty needs signed. And Israel needs peace with their neighbors. Lord, it's all happening. It all is part of the plan. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you knew everything would happen. You knew the European Union would be back together. You knew what was going on. I pray you'd help us, Lord, and just to help us to realize that we are on a time clock and that we really will face eternity and that you are a great God and real. And please help us to realize the word of God, what it says is going to happen. And help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be back in.